very warm welcome to all of you who've tuned in for the third and final podcast of our mini-series on investigations. My name is Maria Strauss. I'm a partner in the Farrow & Co. Safeguarding Unit and employment team, and I co-lead our investigations practice. In podcasts one and two, I was joined by Peter Spindler and Gary Pankhurst, and we covered in some depth and quite a technical conversation the area of sexual misconduct, looking at the national landscape, the role organisations have to play in this problem, planning then for an investigation in episode two, which is a workplace investigation. And in this third instalment of the series, we look at interviewing techniques, not contaminating witness evidence, the types of interviewing models that could be adopted from the criminal justice system into a civil workplace investigation, and the concept of detecting deception, is that ever possible, as well as the style of questioning that can be used in various types of interviews. This is the final instalment of our investigations series. Please do listen to episodes one and two when you get the chance. My final topic for discussion with you is interview techniques. And it's fair to say that, you know, in a workplace investigation context, you know, HR and safeguarding needs, you know, they don't get a lot of training on how to interview people. There's not very much out there. ACAS produced some good guidance. The Equality and Human Rights Commission have got some very good technical guidance on harassment. But it strikes me that interviewing people is a really, well, it's an area that requires a lot of skill and experience. And actually, witnesses are the key to an investigation, aren't they? So if you want to get that, you know, solid report with, you know, findings of fact, and for the managers to be making decisions on sort of sure ground, it strikes me you need to do the interviewing properly. And I wondered, Gary, if you can, if we take this to the end, really, what, you know, what you can tell us about from your experience about interviewing complainants, interviewing, you know, the accused person, whether there's a difference in how you approach these things, how that can be done effectively, and anything you've seen from your, you know, research and academic life that would tell us about interviewing these different categories of people.
Sure. So firstly, if we look at categories, well, for me, everybody that I would be looking to interview potentially as a witness. It really doesn't matter what their role is. They're somebody who has information that I as an investigator want. And the first thing is, where does that come from? Well, it's coming from memory. So the most important thing I can do is not to contaminate that memory. So the best way to do that is to have as little influence and effect on that individual as you can while getting the most information from them. So there are very good ways of doing that. What does research tell us? It tells us that the way that the police changed in the early 90s was a complete paradigm shift for the whole national way of interviewing. And we moved away from what you might see on television dramas of the more sort of accusatory form of interviewing, which makes good drama, but it certainly doesn't make for good interviewing. And we moved to a more rapport-based information gathering form of interviewing. And we use something called the PEACE model, which stands for planning and preparation, engage and explain, account, closure and evaluation. So really it's just a strategic level kind of structure in which you can sit your interview. So for anybody who's looking to complete an interview, there are just really simple things that they can do to kind of make sure they get it right. The most important thing is the planning. So what you do before you get into that interview room will determine whether or not you have a successful interview in the vast majority of cases. So the planning is really simple. We split it down into three levels, which is the first thing you want to do is you want to get every piece of information that interviewee can give you without adding anything to it, So don't put in information within your questioning into that that they haven't already provided you. Once you've got all the information that they can give you, then you move on to the interviewer's agenda. So you then start to go through the topics that you're interested in gathering information about. And we'll talk about how you do that in a second. And it's only once you have finished going through all of those information gathering topics that you then move on to the last part, which is the bit that is often most difficult, which is if you then intend to either clarify or challenge or deal with any discrepancies between what you have gathered before and what you know from the evidence that you've gathered and what you've been told in that interview. So quite often this will be potentially with the reported party. So that's how you would structure the interview. The most important thing really is to try and keep the questions open. So the questions will be tell, explain, describe. Those will give you a more open answer. And time and again, the research has shown that not only will they give you more information, but there is less errors in the answers that are given. And then once you've got that information as much as they can give you, then you can start to move down to a more probing form of question, which is your what, where, when, how kind of question. What you want to avoid is leading questions where you are suggesting the answer, false choice, which is like only giving them a yes or a no, blue or white, that kind of question, and tag questions, which in sexual cases come up all the time, which is quite often there is limited information in a there's limited evidence maybe in a sexual case. And so what tends to happen is that the interviewer will read passages from the account of the reporting person saying, you know, what have you got to say about this, or, you know, and it's just not helpful. You're just basically reading a statement and then you're asking them to comment on it. So you're not gathering any information in those cases. So I think that is probably a really, as quickly as I can summarise the basic rules. The most important element for me is the building and maintenance of rapport throughout that interview. My research is with people that are being interviewed as people suspected of sexual offences, and they are really receptive to an open and rapport form of interviewing, because quite often there's complex motivations behind what's gone on. And if you can provide an environment where they believe that they can trust you to listen to them, you will get far more information from it. And negative behaviours will shut them down very quickly. Whereas if you can, try and reduce their levels of anxiety, then you will nearly always get more information. Really important, because we don't know what we're dealing with until we've got both sides of the story.
And by negative behaviours, Gary, you would mean, you know, an interviewer acting in a particular way, like seemingly maybe disgusted by something, or, you know, judging or angry, or showing some kind of, you know, emotional reaction, I guess, to what an interviewee has told
them. Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be verbal. It can be, you know, just a facial expression can be enough. It can be quiet. That can be problematic, in particularly when you're dealing with interviews that involve, child offences.
Or vulnerable
people, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And Gary, I'm sure you've been asked many times, but how, if at all, can you detect people who might be trying to deceive you as an investigator? Is it possible, or can you debunk some myths around that for us?
I can debunk it quite quickly, which is, it makes great entertainment on the telly, but it's not good science. Actually, there are no reliable methods for detecting deception. Polygraphs don't work. They're not proper science. So whatever you believe, even Jeremy Carl, I'm afraid it's all entertainment only. So they don't work. There are very few consistently effective markers. One of the reasons being that the things like polygraph just measure physiological responses to stress and anxiety. And strangely enough, anybody in the position where they're being interviewed, particularly if they know that they've been interviewed to detect whether they're lying or not, are often quite anxious. So it's very subjective. But one of the things that does help is, as I said, if you structure your interview so that you look and decide if there are key pieces of information or evidence that you have that you would be able to test an account, you may hold those back to the end of the interview to allow the person three or four options in terms of explaining their situation before you might reveal that piece of information, which is called the strategic use of evidence method of working. And that doesn't detect deception, it just reveals deception if it's already there.
Gary, thank you so much for that guidance and for giving us so much detail there around interviews. And I guess I'm going to bring our session to a conclusion. We've had quite a technical discussion today, and our listeners will have heard a lot about some troubling areas, you know, sexual misconduct and the complexities of all of these investigations. But on a slightly more optimistic note, what we're doing here is really trying to equip our listeners to handle these disclosures properly, which is part of creating that safe organization, which is part of that national conversation about protecting people, women, girls, children, and so on. So I am enormously grateful to both of you, Peter and Gary, for sharing your time with me. And I know that you've been thinking about these topics well ahead of recording this conversation with me as well, and sharing ideas. And I'm so pleased that we've got some really valuable key points there from two very experienced detectives and very senior police that we can hopefully use to improve the quality of our workplace investigations, be it school, sports club, wherever these things are happening. Thank you so much, both.
Thank you.